first thing on.
I just turned the recording on, I forgot, so we missed about a minute.
Oh, okay. For the recording, I called the meeting to order just a moment or two ago. We have all five directors present physically, one virtually. And we don't have any public input at the moment. And that brings us to officer elections for 2026.
So my annual duty, I'll put forth a motion to maintain the positions as currently held with Chairman Woods, Treasurer Heath, Secretary Holland, and if so inclined the board wishes, I will take on the heady task of vice chair. I'll go to all the funerals and birthday parties for this.
Well, I'll second that one.
Discussion. Anybody have anything to say about the slate of proposed officers for 2020? Okay. All those in favor of the officers as listed for 2026? This is going to be a roll call vote since we have one remote director. So, Chris, if you call the roll, please.
Okay. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Director Garrett?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. We have our officers for this year. Thank you. So, minutes, approval of the NA and public minutes of November 19, 2025.
Put forth the motion to approve the minutes for what did we take them? The November 2025.
Which November? Why are there two November dates?
Well, we had a special.
We did?
Yeah, so there was a public meeting November 19th, right?
Right.
We had the special meeting, the non-public, the 20th. Was that
well,
the public?
Says public.
Well,
it says public.
Well, it starts in public.
Right.
And there goes into special.
Yeah, right.
Public.
The public portion was
so
high and by.
So we have.
So I'll amend the motion to say to approve the minutes for the meetings of November 19th and November 23rd.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on the minutes? Okay. Chris, if you could call the roll to approve the meeting minutes.
Okay. Vice Chairman Duquette?
Yes.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Garrett?
Yes.
And Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. Brings us to Treasurer's Report. Approval of the November 2025 and December 2025 financial statements subject to audit. Take it away, David.
Okay, drastic happened in November, so I'm going to skip to December. Year to date. We're faring pretty well according to budget. So that's a benefit of not bringing budget in until partway through the year. Get a little smarter. But there's some differences. Deal flowage fees are down a bit, which kind of will coordinate with the power report later on. Wages and salaries are a little bit below what we budgeted, but that happens about this time of year when we catch up after various reviews happen. We catch up during the year. The only other thing that kind of jumps out a little bit is electricity is a little bit higher. That's probably because there's more people in the building. And we did spend a bit more on office equipment. I guess that's the computer and a lot of the switches and IT stuff in there too, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've been, basically upgrading the building as new tenants come in. It's all heaven's fault. So we'll keep an eye on that, and whatever the other record, you know, we're still we got a positive bottom line year to date, which is always a good thing. And we don't really anticipate that changing. We'll talk about more about leases and stuff in the executive session, but the rental income that now being generated by the building as time goes on is going to get even better. And so this bottom line is going to be in good shape this year.
I got a question. Is there just a rule of thumb relationship between snow removal income and snow removal costs? Does nothing be getting lost this year?
No, the only correlation, you know, here, and it's some of the, you know, Chris has done a couple of analyses on this over the last few years, and, you know, if you just match it dollar for dollar, it looks like we make money, because, you know, it doesn't, the money we generate from the tenants, you know, exceeds the overtime and the contract people, but when you factor in fuel and wear and tear on equipment and, you know, replacing stuff that breaks while we plow, then, you know, we're
it's okay with a cliff at which point you get enough storms and all of a sudden you're pointing over return where costs are going to never recoup.
Well, we hopefully recoup. You know, we did go up on the first storm billing about a year ago, and just to kind of keep up with repair costs.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So it's never meant to be a profit center.
Right.
I guess.
I'm just curious if we're even.
We're again dollar for dollar. You know, right. Cash out, cash in.
Right.
You know, direct costs in and out. We're probably ahead of the game.
But you break one expensive bit.
Then you start breaking stuff and replacing stuff, which doesn't always show up until later.
Right.
You can't say, oh yeah, that was because of those storms. It's just.
Got it. Okay.
I remember signing a check recently for, I think it was Pete's Tire Barn, like, you know, $3,000 tire. Yeah, those things are not cheap.
Mostly attributed to snow removal.
Right. So it's those kind of things. It's, again, there's not a direct correlation as such, but things break more when we plow more.
And if you think about the billing, we bill the tenants for the hangars, the condominiums,
mm-hmm.
but we're not billing anybody for the ramps,
right.
the taxiways,
right.
and the runways,
right.
which comprise the majority of the property.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
The gates, the parking lots.
Right.
So the other thing is, I just want to mention that, you know, even though it's, you know, the nice bottom line, you know, what's been clear to me in the last few months is that we've definitely ventured into the commercial rental building, a commercial rental business, and with that comes the necessity to make sure our tenants are happy,
mm-hmm.
and to improve the building and to keep it nice and clean and that kind of stuff. So that bottom line, you know, don't let it fool you. There's definitely there's a home for that. Lots of homes, but you know, we got to keep improving the infrastructure, the networking. Walls are like a dormitory, and you know, the tenants that we're attracting here now are, you know, we got to step it up. So there's definitely a home for all that, and you know. We are, you know, doing some renovations and some space for a tenant that will generate more money. It's about probably with the cost of that renovation is probably less than a 9-month payback. So,
thanks.
But that's kind of where we're at. We'll go into more details and get the lease parts during the executive session. So the expenses are being covered, and they will continue to be covered, and more so, as the year progresses. And the balance sheet is really healthy. Cash position, liquidity, payables, all that stuff is in really good shape. We do have some money coming in on a project. This is net 148. Oh, no, sorry, that was last year. Never mind, strike that. I'm calling. So anyway, projects are pretty static as far as the cash flow is concerned. There's a little bit due and a little bit to be paid. And our operational payables and receivables are in good shape. Bad debt expense is non-existent, which is always a good thing. And so that's kind of what we got. You know, we are going to be doing some improvements to another building on behalf of the tenant as well, but again, it's recovered. The recovery period is very quick. So.
And we'll discuss that in non-public tonight.
Right. Right. Any other questions?
Yes. On your, it looks like your account number 40103, 40102.
You on the income statement, Larry?
Yes. On the
yep.
79 perimeter road building.
Yep. Uh-huh.
How many tenants represent that?
Well, it depends on when the month was. Back when this was going on, there were two of them, which will become more and more as we go through the year.
And that's for this building?
Correct.
Correct.
So,
and then
it's showing like an income of $4,588 for 1 month on two tenants.
Okay, I guess. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So we only have two tenants in the building?
No. And we had two tenants in the building. We have more now.
Effectively.
And we'll be talking about that again in non-public this evening, new in real estate.
Yeah, real estate discussions, you know, details are generally done in non-public for confidentiality reasons.
Any other questions for David this evening? Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve the November 2025 and December 2025 financial statements subject to audit.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, Chris, could you call the roll, please?
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes, sorry.
You want
to
me? I know.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
And Director Garrett?
Yes.
I like you to be improved on
me. Just stay out of my parking space, okay?
Okay, motion is carried.
The raise is carried,
though. So next up, approval of the fiscal year 2026 budget.
The approval of the 2026 budget, yes. So it's part of the income statement you see in the package here. We held off for a while on it until some of the more major points of how this building is going to operate were known. And so a month or so ago, when we figured out, okay, this is what's going to happen, then we put the budget in, and that's kind of what you're seeing here. So the budget for the year shows a projected surplus of about $4,000. I don't want to go into too much of the detail. A lot of it's built off of the prior year actuals. A lot of it's built on the payroll stuff, which is the majority of the budget. It's built by person. So we take each person and build it out and build in whatever increases or decreases will happen during the year. And projecting a little bit of some overtime due to the cell phone. And so basically the process is similar to the prior years. The biggest variable is still the rental income. The expenses are going to be a little higher for the building because there's just more activity in here. But other than that, the budget is a surplus budget, which is a good thing. And it helps us monitor what's going on in the world out here. Anybody have any questions on the budget? Do I want to make a motion?
You can make a motion.
Okay. I'll make a motion to accept the budget as presented for 2020, fiscal 2026.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion on the FY 2026 budget? And Jess, are you good?
I'm good, yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chris, will you call the roll, please?
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Director Garrett.
Yes. Okay, motion carries. So that brings us to communications, of which I see none for this period. And that brings us to our series of reports. So the power report. November, it looks like we're month to month, we're down 1,435 operations, and December we're down 874 versus November, and that brings us down, let's see, that brings us to up 70 between 2024 and 2025 for the year. So up 2%, you know, year over year. So overall, a little pickup. That's good. And airport manager report.
Good evening. Upcoming events. I've met with ladies from the Eastern New England region, 99. They're going to be painting our compass rows in the end of May, May 30th. So we had the paving done last year, and it's all ready to be painted. They have a group of volunteers. They've been doing this for a long time. I think over 30 years they've been doing these. We met the other day to coordinate this. The Airport Authority will be paying for the surveying and the paint, and the volunteers will do the painting. So tentative date for that, you know, weather pending is May 30th, and if we have a rain event, it'll be rescheduled for the following weekend.
Yes, was that the old roads paved over when they did the...
It was removed.
Right, so
the pavement was removed.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Was reclaimed, I should say.
Yeah. And there's somebody that can actually, it's a technical thing, is that is really north.
Oh, yeah. With a survey company will be paying for the survey.
Okay.
And so it'll be all surveyed. And
okay.
We'll try to get it at Magnetic North too, Dave. Somebody asked me that. I said, well, I think that's a good idea.
Sure, why not?
Other items of interest, recently signed the contract with OneSource Security for the new gate access control system. Company called Brevo is the provider of the equipment. As soon as they have all the equipment, I spoke with them the other day, they do not have all the equipment yet. As soon as they do, they'll be scheduling. They're trying to do it for this spring. We have some nice weather because it's rather labor intensive, the installation at the gates. And the other thing that I met with them that I don't have in this report because I met with them just this week was to have card access to this building. This building is currently equipped with mag-type readers where magnets will lock the doors. And the whole idea is that via the computer, again, in the Brevo system, it'll work as part of the Brevo system, we can schedule it to unlock the doors of the building at 7 a.m. every day or whatever time we choose. And then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 6, 7, whatever time we choose, it can automatically lock everything. And then folks that we give credentials to will be able to access it after hours, whether it's by phone credential, fobs, or key cards.
Yeah, so that would be basically the tenant and their staff.
The tenants, correct.
Any janitorial crew.
Yep.
You know, us.
And the other part is, if somebody needs to get in this building and they contact myself, I can remotely let them in through the phone.
And when they do that, instead of saying, hey, I'm at the front door, can you let me in? Is there going to be a camera access? You can see, yes, that person's really...
We will have cameras, yep.
Okay.
Not integrated with that system, but we will have cameras. We've started putting cameras up in certain locations,
right.
And those will be part of this.
That's like a Ring doorbell kind of thing.
Something like that, yep.
Okay.
Most likely RealLink, which are the cameras I've been installing around the airport.
Right.
The Brevo system has cameras. This part of the Brevo system doesn't, but we're going to accommodate it with the Brevo.
Yeah, as long as if we have, you know, somebody can call in and say, hey, I'm at the door, I need to get to this office or whatever, and you can say, yeah, okay, go ahead, but I want to make sure.
Keep in mind, I'm not letting anybody in. I don't know.
No,
so.
Hey, Phil.
But no, it's a good security system to have, and.
Right. I'm glad you're incorporating this building,
yep.
Too. That's awesome.
Some of the tenants have requested it.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
You know, I generally come down here after hours at night to make sure the building's locked.
And then, we can coordinate it with maybe perhaps, you know, Infinity that's going to need special access.
Yep.
I was just thinking.
Well, they're going to have, they'll have fobs. Line service guys will have fobs to access it.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, Chris. I mean, let's say there's somebody coming in at 3 in the morning, and the line crew has to be there. When I go to my kids' elementary school for a game at night, my grandkids, there's a gate, there's a full of those accordion gates that are across the hallways. Is that something we should think about doing here so that they can't get to the rest of it? They can stay at the FBO part, but they can't get...
No, because the bathrooms are down that end of the hallway.
Yeah.
They have to be able to get to the restrooms. And
well, maybe just...
Everybody has door locks on their doors, and it's up to the tenants to lock their doors as such.
Yeah. I was curious.
Yep.
That in the middle of the night kind of action.
No, we don't want to... You know, one of the things that, you know, especially if a crew's coming in the middle of the night, they're most likely going to need a restroom.
Oh, sure. No. Maybe put the gate just past the restroom and then I went over there kind of thing.
That only segregates 5 rooms out of the whole building.
Okay.
So, we can talk about it, but I don't think it's necessary with everybody having door locks.
Okay.
The IT room is locked. It's all camera secured, by the way. So, that's what's going on with One Source Security. Again, met with Brad the other day from One Source, and we're just waiting on equipment and some nice weather to do the installation. We had our annual holiday party at the Lost Cowboy. I'd say it was a successful event, and I think we had about, 15 or 16 people, Sue?
15,
yeah. So perfect for the reservation that we made, and great time. Hopefully other people can make it that couldn't make it this year, can make it next year. Dan Kramer from Hazen Sawyer Engineering and In Situ Form have completed the sewer lining project at Nashua. This was a project with zero expense to the Airport Authority. It was basically sponsored by the city because the city has a main sewer line traversing the airport. And some portions of this line were old and degraded, and they had to line them. They initially thought they'd have to line under the runway, but I met with Danny Carrion from Gale Associates. I said, Danny, how can this be? We put this in 2012 under the runway, and sure enough, it was not needed there. And so what they did is they lined from the other side of the runway on the east side under the railroad tracks, and then they lined a small portion from the Charlie taxiway to the Foxtrot taxiway on the inner ramp. And this took the better part of a week. So no disruption to our operations whatsoever, except when they were on the ramp, we had to divert traffic from Charlie down to Delta. But no disruptions on the runway whatsoever.
What's the order factor?
The winds were working just fine for us. I looked out at that wind stock, I'm like, gotta love wind from 320. Because if it wasn't, we'd have been in trouble. On the 14th, Matt Kerr and I submitted our Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act grant application for the Terminal Building Reconstruction Project. Now, we've applied for this for the last few years and have not been successful in getting the grant. This grant is sought after by almost everybody in the industry, and we did not have this building in our possession at the time that this grant first came out, so there were several other airports that were way ahead of us in requesting this. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. We obviously desperately need this grant, as this building needs a lot of work. And if we get the grant, that's great. If not, we will start doing these improvements on our own as best as we can over time.
Chris, is there an ability to do the improvements and get reimbursed down the road?
If we were to do something like that, Matt can speak more to this, it would have to go through the processes in terms of going out to bid, engineered by Gale Associates, et cetera. So you'll start incurring expenses that you may never recover. And I don't believe that anybody at FAA or New Hampshire DOT at this point could say, sure, we're going to reimburse this because we don't know that we're getting this grant. This is a tough one.
But I was worried, as you know, that some of the infrastructure, the roof and whatnot, is one of those things I'm sure is on your list.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm not sure.
Roof, floors, walls, windows, right. HVAC, bathrooms, handicap access.
I'm not sure the roof can some of the stuff can wait. I'm not sure the roof can.
Yeah, we can't wait on the roof anymore. I nicknamed the building the 22 bucket building.
Yeah.
This is 22 buckets to catch rainwater in here at the time, and most of them are in my office.
That's
how I keep clean.
Chris, is it possible to get a list of the items that need improvement on this building?
Yep.
Are they part of the grant application?
Yep. Yep, everything, when you submit these grant applications, and Matt maybe chat more about this, we have to spell it out rather clearly because let's say we put in the grant app, we want to do a roof, we want to do walls, and then all of a sudden we decide to do windows, and we have all this extra money, you can't do it unless it's specifically in the grant request. So we get rather specific, and everything I mentioned is in there.
How many major items do you feel that this building is going to require in the next couple of years?
Everything I mentioned, the roof especially.
That be your number one priority?
Number one priority is the roof, yep. And then
Number two,
the bathrooms.
Bathrooms, he's not kidding, bathrooms. Energy efficient doors and windows. It's very expensive for the utilities in this building. This building was made in the 70s and 80s, built in the 70s and 80s.
I was in one of the first spots when they dedicated this building. I'm aware of the age, and you probably want to make it 88.
Well, I mentioned that, so it'll all be handicap accessible, et cetera, all the doors. We want to get, so you push the button, so if somebody's in a wheelchair or whatever, they can, gain access to the building.
Did the lighting come up?
Yep, lighting.
Kitchen? Energy efficient oven. So.
That's actually not in it, but.
Oh, bummer.
Wes, did you have another question, or were you talking about 88?
Okay.
If I remember correctly, you were responsible for the airport authority at the time having to move the meeting location.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Right now, this building, we have handicapped parking, we have a ramp to get in, there's no stairs in this building, so it is handicap accessible, but certain things that would help out, and the bathrooms are ADA compliant, but they're old, they're from the 70s. And but, there's all kinds of other things that you do nowadays, like with door access. So, all those things, I can give you the list of everything that we have. We can show you the grant out. On the 16th, we received notice from the FAA, Matt and I did, that the application period for fiscal year 26 IIJA competitive FAA contract tower grants is now open. Matt and I will work on submitting this application prior to the February 17th deadline. We've applied for this for, what, the last 4 years in a row, and this is the last year that you can apply for this. As you all recall that have been here, and Larry will let you know, that we submitted a grant gap and we received a grant for a tower siting study. It was somewhere to the tune of about $300,000, and that siting study was completed, and I asked a very direct question to the group of FAA people, which there were probably, I don't know, 15 people in this meeting that we had, in a virtual meeting, and I said it in plain English, is somebody blowing smoke somewhere, or are we actually going to get a tower? And the response was, the FAA, from an FAA employee, the FAA would not spend money on the siting study if we did not fully intend to fund a tower. So as this is the last round of these grants, we anticipate securing the grant.
It's going to be
there's still no guarantees.
Right, but are you planning a separate tower building?
Yes. So it would be a new tower.
It's
in this back corner of the parking lot in the wooded area. And that tower will be, the floor height, I believe, was 122 feet. And the top of the cab is somewhere around 156, 157 feet. So it's...
What are we at now?
What was it now? It's going to be almost three times the height.
Yeah,
the floor height's like 40-something feet on this one. And when we did the siting study, it was rather amazing. Matt was here with me when we were doing this. They bring in a whole virtual reality setup, and we spend a week setting it all up, and then we have the meeting with all the FAA people, and they want to come in and go foot by foot, checking everything, and, well, we cheated the day before, and we were playing with this, getting it all set up, and we said, hey, look, we can save about a week's worth of work. You can't see over the trees until you get to 120 feet. And so that's how we ended up at that altitude. They bring it right up there. And that's where we have full visibility of the entire field, all the movement areas, I should say. And just for your edification, so you know, there's a whole bunch of things. We're not ADA compliant. That tower was built in the 70s. There's all kinds of issues with it. It's old school. There's no elevator. But one of the biggest problems we have is for having a control tower is our visibility out to the west. In the southwest is when planes are coming in, majority of our traffic comes in from that direction, transient traffic. The tower controllers can't see that traffic until they're actually in the pattern. So they can't see them approaching. They're relying on radar, which they have, but that's one of the biggest downfalls to the tower that we have right now. The terrain, the trees have grown up over, 100 plus acres out here. So raising the tower up now gives them unrestricted visibility, so it's a huge safety component for air traffic as well as everybody else. So that's why we're doing this project.
So this is February 17th is the FAA deadline?
Yes, and we just received notification the other day.
Is there anything that the state has, the DOT has to do in order to meet that deadline?
Nope, this is us submitting it, just like we did for the IIJA.
So there can't be a delay from that?
No. Okay. Nope, this is us. And we're ready to go. We're just going to fine-tune it. We've been waiting and waiting.
Sure.
You know, we anticipated this grant-off application back in May.
Yeah.
And it's just happening now.
I'm not worried about us making the deadline.
No, I get it. No, we're fine. It's all us doing this right now.
Good.
It goes directly, it literally gets emailed directly to the FAA,
okay.
And they respond immediately with receipt.
Okay.
Does any of our congressional delegation know about this?
So Matt and I have drafted up a letter, and it will be going out to everybody in the aforementioned, yes, including the governor, the mayor, et cetera. We're reaching out to all of our politicians. State representatives, everybody, because this is a big deal for Nashville. big deal for the state of New Hampshire. I don't know if you're aware, Larry, but we are the second busiest general aviation airport in New England. And we're the busiest airport in the state of New Hampshire. So this is very important. This isn't just a small airport saying, hey, we want a new tower. This is absolutely necessary.
No, it's like off the record, I guess. But when the mayor was interviewing me, I expressed to him that I feel like this airport is like a sleeping giant that needs to be woken up. The improvements that we can make should get it to be number one.
Yep. You are on the record because we are recording, just so you know.
That's so much for us.
Just figured I'd remind you.
I think this airport has so much potential.
That observation has been shared many, many times over the years.
Yep. It's a great asset to the city. This airport brings in tens of millions of dollars of revenue to the city annually. It's just amazing, you know, for a town to have an airport, but the city of Nashville to have the airport that it has, this is over the top. On the 17th, which was just this past Saturday, during the snowstorm, we hosted the Eastern New England Chapter 99's chapter meeting here at 79 Perimeter Road. So the ladies came in and had their annual meeting here, at which point I was able to speak with this lady, Kelly Short, the girl that's in charge of the Painting of the Compass Rose project. So they had a nice time here. They went and enjoyed a nice meal at the Midfield Cafe for lunch. And I'm surprised anybody showed up because it was snowing to beat the band out there, but they all showed up. Well, it was a good time. Safari Construction has been working on the site engineering for the upcoming India Ramp Hangar development project. They've had the soil test pits studies have been completed. Everything was fine. Wetland studies recently began. They had the wetland scientists in here a couple weeks ago. And tomorrow morning, their site survey crew will be in here starting to survey the plot. And that's all I have. Anybody have any questions?
No, not right now.
Sold.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
And for the engineer's report.
All right. Well, good evening. Zach County with Gilchrist for the record. So,
I'm sorry? The moment we got one waiting for.
What's that?
Good.
Is there? Well, I appreciate that. You're welcome. Thank you. So in addition to the two grant applications that Chris had mentioned, we have been making some progress on the AWOS SAWS project. As of writing this update and providing it last week, we did not have a pre-construction meeting set. We do now have a pre-construction meeting set with the FAA and with Cullen, the electrical contractor for this project, on February 4th. That will be taking place on that date to talk about scheduling when the equipment will be shut down, when the equipment will be moved over to its new location. So that is the fourth. Sorry, that's a question.
Is there interruption? Is there going to be interruption?
It will be shut down. We will have to...
How long?
Yeah, how long you said that was going to be. It wasn't very long.
Like a couple of days?
Well, there's some trenching that has to go on in the vicinity of the runway from the ILS. Power supply, basically.
And all that pre-work will take place before we shut the equipment down and move it over.
But that will entail daytime shutdowns between 7 and 5. I want to say it was 3 days, Matt.
I think it is.
Well, on the runway?
Yeah.
We'll confirm that definitively.
You can't do it without shutting it down. I can't have pits. You can have men out there. You can't have giant holes in the ground.
Even though it's not on that runway. It's not the pavement.
No, it's the adjacent...
Yeah.
Sure.
Is there a way to coordinate that with a cracked seal project so they're not sort of shut down at the same time?
It's possible, so not to like jump ahead, but I will. So the cracked seal project, we're planning for early spring. I know that the electrical contractor for the AWOS was thinking, you know, sometime in probably mid to late March. So it's possible that it could dovetail. We'll know more after the meeting on the 4th. Because we need FAA schedules as well, and I don't know how much lead time they're going to need. So if there is an opportunity to put them together.
Yeah, no, we'll try that. We discussed that. But a lot of it hinges on the FAA.
No, I understand, but maybe if you can court, if the FAA has got the gate, then have the crack and seal dovetail with that.
It makes perfect sense if we can do it, if it aligns.
Rather than two multi-day shutdowns.
Yep.
No, we'll do our best on that.
Okay, great.
Matt?
Yes?
Is a question. Is the crack seal, moving ahead, is the crack seal actually scheduled for like March?
It is, yeah, scheduled. We have it in here. I mean, we left it a little bit open-ended with the contractor because they need greater than 50 degree weather. So it's a temperature thing for that. So there's a little bit of a balance with the AWOS and that, but yeah, no, I agree if we can get the thing to line up, it would make sense. We'll do our best for that.
Perfect.
Is it greater than 50 degrees around the clock, or?
No, when they put the application.
Well, it's like the FAA wanted to come in, was it early March, but the ground's going to be most likely frozen at that point, so. Probably towards the end of March is what we discussed.
It's like only 6-7 weeks away. I don't think
surprisingly.
Yeah.
We have to remove 2 feet of snow from it for next week.
Just sticking with the AWOS for a second, you may recall from the last meeting that we had, there was a discussion, it might have been the meeting before that, there was the subsequent reimbursable agreement, that was the construction reimbursable agreement for the FAA. So we had gone through that. We had worked, we're working to put together a grant application to submit to the state. There's additional caps that are required in that by the FAA for the construction phase portion of it. That requires additional resident engineering, if you recall from reading that. So we put together our scope and fee, which comes out $76,000 with a local share of $1,900. That includes the grant administration, the grant closeout, additional resident engineering tasks that are associated with the construction phase reimbursable agreement. So we're prepared to move forward with that and get that grant application submitted. So I am looking for a vote tonight from the board to approve our fee of $76,000, which again, the local share on that. Airport share is $1,900. The FAA reimbursable agreement, if you recall, that total reimbursable agreement fee was $140,345. We negotiated with the FAA to split that up into three separate payments, the first of which the airport's already paid, which was $46,781.73. As a reminder, you get reimbursed up to 97.5% on that. So there's a 2.5% local share that you're committed to, but 97.5% of that comes back to the airport. The first payment was made. The second payment is technically due April 1st, where this project hasn't started. So we haven't drawn any funds down. We'll just talk with the FAA and make sure that they're not expecting that payment until money starts getting drawn down from the first payment. And then there's a final payment if needed, which I don't see how this is going to get to the point where it's $140,000, but if it does, there'd be a final payment due July 1st. But we have a pulse on that. We're keeping track of that and making sure we're coordinating with the FAA. Any questions on that? I'm not sure if a lot of numbers at you.
So the whole thing is supposed to be 140.
Correct.
And we paid 46 of it.
Yes.
So now that brings to 98, roughly.
Yep.
97.
We split up one third.
How does that relate to the 76?
It doesn't. The $76,000 is separate from that. $76,000 is for sales to administer the grant.
Okay, so basically the 140 is the construction phase. The 76 is part of the design and engineering phase.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So if a motion were to be created for this, it would probably be something like authorizing Chairman Woods to approve the signing off of the estimated fee and 97.5% of refundable or recoverable fee of $76 to Gale Associates for the AWOS SAWS relocation project?
That is correct. And enter into the grant application.
And then enter the grant, right.
Does the payment to Gale get spread out, or is that just a one lump sum?
No, we spread it out. We typically invoice the airport on a monthly basis. And then what we do is we prepare reimbursement requests on your behalf, and we submit those to the state via the airport reimbursed on that 97.5%.
So have we paid any of that yet?
What's that?
Have we paid any of this 76 yet?
No, this is brand new. So we didn't have this number until we received that construction reimbursable agreement from the FAA to understand what they needed us to do.
Okay.
It's not, Susan, it's not, no.
So it's going to be a different number?
It will be. It's going to be it'll be a whole separate grant and a separate grant number than this year because it's a separate grant.
Okay.
I'll make sure that that's reflected moving forward once we get it submitted and we know what the grant number is.
Okay.
I'll probably separate these two out to make it easier for you.
Yep.
So do we want to just do that vote now?
Yeah, instead of $76, I could stick that.
$76.
$76.
We won't be very far.
We're going to negotiate.
That's good negotiating, though.
Yeah,
I like that. $5. You want $5?
So, all right.
So we're going to put forth a motion to authorize Chairman Woods and Baffin National Airport Authority to approve and enter into contract with Yale Associates, separate grant related to a grant application related to the relocation ASOS and SOS. Towards the scope of work will be the administration by Gale for this project, separate from the actual project itself, right? For the amount of $76,000, of which 97.5% will be reimbursable under the grant stipulations.
97.5, right?
Yeah, so last year, just as a reminder, fiscal year 2026 is the last year where the FAA is paying 95%, state paying 2.5%, and there's a local share of 2.5%. Come fiscal year 2027 goes back to that 95-5 split.
Okay.
How long does it take to get reimbursed? We'll talk about that in executive session.
It depends on how fast.
How should it long it take, or how long does it take?
It depends on how fast Concord moves.
Right.
That's the
because we're putting a block grant state and
It's been moving pretty good. At a much better clip, I will say that. So.
Fundamentally, the difference being is we have to go through our state Bureau of Aeronautics to the FAA as opposed to direct funding down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll make that, or I'll second that. Did you make the motion?
I did make the motion.
Okay. And it was $1,000. I will second that motion.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion on the floor?
You going to help Susan write that thing?
Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
And Director Durrett.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
Okay, the runway center line crack field, really not much of an update at this point in time. Other than we talked about it, we're looking to get that construction started, as soon as the weather turns. The last item is the fiscal year 2026 capital improvement program. So there are three projects that are identified on National CIP for fiscal year 2026. They include the design permit bid for hotel ramp reconstruction, replace or remove hazard beacons, and purchase of SRE. We didn't have a scoping meeting. We now do have a scoping meeting in place with NHDOT, which is scheduled for February 6, 2026. We'll have more information on these projects, availability of funding, and which ones will likely be a go for 2026, and we'll report back to the board. That will include a full scope of work, key, the whole nine yards. We'll probably need to do IFD for that one, as opposed to the record of negotiations or cost reasonableness statement, because those likely will be over $100,000. But stay tuned for more information on our.
So is this a similar reconstruction that was done on Foxtrot about 15 years ago?
15 years ago.
Well, 2008.
I don't know what the date is of that one, but just like golf ramp that we recently did.
Yeah, okay.
It was
part of the ARRA money. I remember it was the ARRA money that we got that for 15 years ago.
But it's very similar to the Foxtrot golf projects that we just did.
Right.
And that's our priority, if we can rank these three projects that you just mentioned, because it's in really bad shape.
That's the electric ramp. That's pretty much.
Yep, the electric ramp, and that also includes that taxiway, the inner taxi lane that's down there.
Yeah. And that, does that somehow dovetail with India Red, the hangar project? Does that affect that at all?
It wouldn't affect it. I mean,
maybe it could we include something to enhance it? Maybe. Just something to think about. You know, if we're down on the end of the runway anyway, just something that can somehow enhance the access to the hangars and India Red at the same time.
I don't take a look at.
Are you talking in the hangar project itself?
No. I'm just talking about getting the hangar project. You have to go through India Ramp to get there, right?
And there's direct access.
Okay, specific in mind. I just thought it's down at
sort of the bypass
or something. Maybe a bridge.
If you think of something between now and when we decide the scope, just let me know. We can talk about it, include it as part of the scope. Right now, it's all just like preliminary, so wide open.
Sure.
And there's, let me interject for a second, Matt. There's a reason why it's design and bid and not design, bid, construct, because there were financial constraints with the FAA this year. So that's why we split it up to construct will be the following year.
Okay.
What piece of equipment do we want to replace or acquire?
Blower, broom, chassis.
Yeah, looking for another carrier vehicle.
Yep.
Any luck recent years with your surplus trips? Or is that just stuff that's not necessarily we're looking for this? It's like, hey, that's a good deal.
Yeah, we keep looking, but it's getting skinny out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff a couple of last pieces we acquired weren't really very useful.
And then they had a nice de-icing truck available and turned out it was...
Well, somebody bought it out from under them the day after our meeting.
Plus it was junk, that's what I understand.
They have one coming this Saturday.
There's one coming?
This Saturday, yes.
Okay.
Cool. Kevin Dela Cruz, for the record.
Should we hold you to that? Hold you to that.
Manchester doesn't want to cough up one of their casters.
We have to house it, and we can't. We don't have a building that is sufficient for it.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Any other questions for Matt this evening? Yes, sir.
This is only my second in-person meeting, but I would just like to say that I would like to compliment Matt on his professionalism and how well-prepared and did with his presentation and everything.
Oh, you've done it now.
But, I'm an outsider.
I know, I'm just saying. We just felt
very good.
He's a good guy. Very well prepared.
Nice to finally be recognized. I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Are you serious about the finally being recognized?
Thank you for the $20. Very impressive young man.
No, we agree. Matt is a great asset to the Nashville Airport. We really appreciate the efforts of Gail.
She gave you a shiner a couple months ago, if I remember correctly.
Oh, did
she?
Yeah. Why didn't you get that?
Larry, wait till you serve me. You'll see if it's still here.
just so you know, Larry, first, from time to time, we do have to vote on either maintaining our relationship with Gail, with our civil engineering company, or building another. We've been with Gail for as long as I've been here, I think.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I don't know if Matt was
born then. And it goes out to bid when we do these things, and nobody put in for the last two rounds.
Well, they have my vote because my great grandmother's last name was Gail.
A little nepotism going on there.
Well, I do appreciate that. Thank you. It's a pleasure working with this board and the airport.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so moving along, committees, we have no committees. We have no old business that I see, nothing under new business. Riz has already talked about upcoming events, particularly the Compass Road painting. The only comment I have is, I remember this being discussed before, the 99s will give us a much nicer looking Compass Road than the Fed are doing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be cool. Yes, Wes.
I think in terms of upcoming events, there's a
aerobatic meeting here this week.
Ah. Where?
Right here.
Right here? In this room? Oh, really? Okay, cool. Actually, you want to speak to that for a moment?
Well, I'm not the organizer, but the Women Aerobatic Association, I think it is now, is hosting a meeting for anyone interested in aerobatics and understanding, you know, how you get into aerobatic, how you're going to progress if you want to get into competition, and how we work with the FAA to get aerobatic airspace. I'm kind of a local expert on that. Hopefully we're going to draw in some new faces and have a great discussion. And then we'll go eat at the midfield.
Help Chris Shovel, you mean?
I'm sorry?
Help Chris Shovel.
This will be Saturday.
Right, we're cutting time.
Just for making sure they're not here to help Shovel.
That's right. We're
going to
get in and get out of
time. What's the taking time of the meeting?
Saturday.
It's Saturday. I believe the meeting's supposed to be something like 10 to maybe 1 or 2.
I can bring one of my iMac model airplanes and fly it.
You're welcome to bring it here. We work on the same...
The
same sequences
and everything.
Yeah.
That's the problem if you want to do that.
In the classroom?
With your show and tell.
I was actually encouraging them to actually have aerobatic airplane owners bring their airplane to do a little bit of show and tell, but looking at the weather forecast, it's probably a good thing that they didn't go with that.
And you mentioned, you know, being the local expert on dealing with the FAA for airspace. You know, it made me think, I sent in a -2 package for Vermont at the beginning of the month. So that is in the hands of our friends in Portland right now.
Yeah. You know, we get all the government we can pay for. I've got a similar package. For the end of May, I run an aerobatic camp up at the Eastern Coast Regional for 3 days. And I also have the annual program letter for the Scrambled Exhibition Airplane in there. And haven't heard boo about it.
You know, Portland told me a long time ago, it's like, I don't need to write them one of those for my airplane anymore.
You know, it's one of those. Every office is its own FAA, but if you send it in, then you're covered, you know, and your operating limitations say you're supposed to do that, so, you know, it's a simple email. I cut and paste it every year, change a few dates, and send it in.
So we can table this for the IAC meeting coming up, can we?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So moving along, public input as the meeting draws to a close here. Going once, going twice. Okay, director's comments. I'll start with Joe.
Not much this month. Good to see everybody. Stay warm. Winter's, we're not quite halfway there, but be safe.
Good. I'm just really happy that we finally know what's going on with the strobing. And have a lot of activity. It's been exciting the last few months, and I look forward to future with the AWOS project, other projects going on in the field, which are the tower. Hopefully the tower will become a reality. All the good, exciting stuff. And of course, you know, Chris and the crew are doing a great job of just keeping things above water and below the snow.
Hey, Jessica?
I just want to second some of those comments. Also say, Joe, you're going to make a fantastic beat, so welcome to that position.
I've been preparing myself mentally and spiritually to handle that.
It's not a beep, it's a Vic.
A Vic, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to call you beep, though. That's
beep. Yeah, I like the beep.
So I look forward to serving with the rest of you, of course, this year. So thanks for staying on, and I look forward to having a good year in 2026.
Oh, I do want to make one more comment. assume the ability to keep all these numbers straight is pretty good. She, every time I ask a question, she got the answer. Even when the whole project stuff, which I still don't understand.
I'll keep explaining.
You will. And someday I'm a slow learner, but I get there.
Just explain everything in terms of a balance sheet.
I'm Bill. Yeah. I thought I knew all this stuff.
Thank you.
So, I want to call out David for working pretty hard on the Infinity LY stuff and you know, other tenants, you know, hammering out paperwork, agreements, things like that. It's been a lot of work, and you know, I just want to acknowledge that here and say thank you for that.
You know, you're welcome. That's what, all this stuff that's going on is one of the reasons I extended my term. I just thought I didn't want to see it again.
So, Larry.
I have no comments other than, I guess, one short comment is, again, I would like to compliment both Chris, the airport manager, and Susan. I think they are very impressive people themselves, but they run a tight ship, and I think they do a great job.
Thank you.
Okay. I did put in part ways by Susan.
Boy, okay. Oh, you're going to get a lot of coops in the head. You're going to get
it.
Yeah.
So, next time we're adjourned to non-public pursuant to RSA 91A-B2D, consideration of the acquisition, sale, or use of real or personal property in RSA 91A-B2A, dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee. So.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. And roll call vote to adjourn, please.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Director Durrett.
I abstain. I'd like to keep it going.
Okay, well, the majority carried, so I think we're now in non-public. Thank you.